receiving the Holy Spirit. I guess because we've always had the Holy Spirit here with us, it's hard to imagine what life would be like before the Holy Spirit. Sure, those who had Jesus for a little while maybe have a better understanding, but those who didn't have that face-to-face time with Jesus, and the Spirit hadn't been sent yet, what must it have been like for them? How must it have been different? I don't guess we'll ever really know or understand. I recognize that there is much that we can talk about the Holy Spirit. We could talk about an advocate. We could talk about a comforter, a communicator, a teacher. I know that I could tell you many stories of how I believe the Spirit has manifested itself to me before. I'm guessing that if I opened it up today for you to tell your own stories, we could probably have so many different stories and ideas that we would need to order in lunch to hear them all. I'm not going to do it. The Spirit, to me, depends a lot on our own ideas, our own images, our own inspiration, and yes, even our own imagination. I've talked to some of you about ways that you feel like people you have lost have let you know that they're watching. Some of you, when you see a coin. Some of you, when you see a butterfly. Some, when you see a dragonfly. And I could go on and on. I myself think in some ways that when you see things like that, and you think about things in the way that you do, that is the Holy Spirit giving you comfort when and where you need it. So while we connect to it in our loved ones, it is the Holy Spirit that connects you with your lost love. I read about a group. And to be honest, it really jumped out at me because in just over a week, I'm going to be in this very spot. But this group was on the Mount of the Beatitudes. And they were having communion and reading scripture. And while they were reading the passage in Matthew, they were right at that point in the scripture where it says, "Consider the birds of the air." When right at that moment, two green birds flew and landed on the tree above them. The group just kind of froze. And the leader said it felt like the Holy Spirit was just saying, "I am with you." I love that example. I wish I could come here today and just give you a really good explanation of what the Spirit is and supposed to be for you, and exactly how you are to know the Spirit. But if I did that, when we're in line after church and everyone is leaving, every one of you would be disagreeing with me on what the Holy Spirit is. Because the Holy Spirit is uniquely yours, and the Holy Spirit is uniquely mine. None of us are wrong in the way that we believe, and none of us are more right than the other. Because the Spirit comes to each one of us in different ways, and we respond to the Spirit differently. Many of you read the book a few years ago that became wildly popular called The Shack. In it, the writer described the Holy Spirit as this semi-transparent Asian woman named Sarayu. I'd never tried to put a visual image on the Holy Spirit before, because I have always thought of it as just that, a spirit. But that showed me people's imagination and people's ideas and how different they are and how they see God showing up in their lives differently. I really tried to imagine what the Holy Spirit would look like if I put physical attributes to it, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't think of it as a person or an earthly thing because I don't consider it earthly. I guess the closest I could come would be that visual image that hopefully we all have of the two people on our shoulders, the one telling you what you should be doing and the one telling you what you shouldn't be doing, and both of them are dressed up in white and red. But when I think of that honestly, I think about an angel and a devil. But I do think that the Holy Spirit is in me, telling me the right things to do, or at least the better things to do. I will tell you that while I depend on the Holy Spirit, I think sometimes I may take advantage of the Holy Spirit. I think sometimes I say, okay, Holy Spirit, give me what I need because I don't want to do the work to get it. For example, sometimes I get very, very busy in the week and I don't put the real work into my sermons and I come up a little short and I say, okay, Holy Spirit, just bring it on. And I need you to know that sometimes that works out for me and sometimes it doesn't. Other times I can do exactly what I need to do and I can study and work hard and the Spirit moves the night before and takes a whole nother turn and I don't know what to make of it, but it was what was needed and I just have to sit back and trust. I find myself sometimes making the comment, I don't know what happened. My sermon just flowed out. I don't know what happened. And in those moments, I have to stop myself and say, yes, you do. You know exactly what happened. You let go of control, and the Holy Spirit worked through you. And I often wonder about the books in this instrument. How many of these guys, and yes, guys, tried to fight God in their writing? And how many of them let God flow through them? How many of the men who put this instrument together made choices according to their likes and dislikes rather than allowing the Most of you know I spent a big part of my life teaching. And I taught a lot of piano lessons, and I would go over and over with my students the importance of putting in the time to practice. That just coming to lessons once a week and sitting down and working through the piece doesn't make you a pianist. You need to spend time at the piano, learning the feel of the keys, learning to work your hands and your fingers, learning to work a piece of music, practicing scales, which students just love to do, repeating things that are difficult and pushing yourself to play difficult pieces. Just sitting down once a week doesn't cut it. Just playing the same one piece over and over and over doesn't cut it. What made a good pianist was sitting down at the piano and focusing your attention on the skills that you need and paying close attention to the markings in the music and the feel of each individual piece, how to sit, how to hold your hands, all of those things that help you express the music through the piano. The same is true for us as Christians. We can't just walk around like we have the Holy Spirit in our back pocket that we can just pull out when we need it. that we can just turn to when we're in a pickle or when things aren't looking so good. That's taking the Holy Spirit for granted. We have to focus ourselves on wanting to see God in and through our lives. When we spend time concentrating on God, communicating with God, seeking God, then God is revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. I guess what I'm saying is that although the Holy Spirit is all around us all the time, and we know that because Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would come to us and the Spirit would remain with us forever and ever. So we know that the Spirit is here. We know that the Spirit is around us. But if we fine-tune our skills through our relationship with Christ, then the Spirit is more easily recognized, more easily seen, more easily felt. It takes work on our part. Not difficult work. Certainly work that is more than worthwhile, but work. We tend to be so busy and we have so many things on our plate that to sit down for just a few minutes and focus ourselves on God isn't really high on our priority list. Oh, the house needs to be clean. The children have these activities. We need to buy groceries. I'm behind at work. Who has the time to sit down and be quiet and read the scripture and be in conversation with God? I love Pentecost, perhaps because it is a reminder for me and hopefully for you that we have a role to play in this relationship with the Spirit. You remember that Jesus told the disciples to stay put and wait for the Advocate. I think it's important for us to remember that we need to make time to stay put a little, to relax into our own time with God. And in that waiting, in that focusing, in that patience, we are rewarded with an amazing opportunity to not just be in the presence of God, but to be with God in a two-sided relationship forever and ever and ever. Amen.